Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning, radio friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast with Brother Larry Knowles. I am thrilled to be here this morning. I am blessed, and I appreciate so much each one of you who tunes in and listens to the broadcast. I trust that it's a blessing to you and a help to you. We just finished our camp meeting on Friday night, and my, what a great time we had. Had some great preaching, some great singing, some great praising of the Lord. I mean, we just had a wonderful time. If you missed it, friend, you missed the blessing. We had a great turnout. Had a lot of people that had not been coming in years past came. I think we had the biggest crowds we've ever had. And we just like to see this thing keep growing and more people be blessed. We're not asking for donations. We're not asking for anything for us. We just want folks to be blessed. Want to be a blessing in our church and in our community and for the folks that are affiliated. Well, let me give you those church announcements now. At the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We begin our Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 for morning worship, 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And we give you an invitation to come. Camp meeting doesn't have to stop just because we moved inside the building. Big Ten will be gone this week. They'll take it down probably on Monday. And we want to invite you to come and be with us in our services. I know that the Lord will bless you. We did have the Joy Heirs with us on Thursday and Friday night. And sadly, that Friday night performance was the last time we'll have them at the church. They've been at every camp meeting that we've had since it started. They're great friends to our church. They've been there numerous times. We love them folks. They sing for the glory of God, and the Spirit of God honors their singing. But they're going off the road. They've been at this, I believe it said, 45 years. That equipment is heavy. And I'm going to tell you, there comes a time in our life that we just can't do what we used to could do. And as much as we hate to concede things, we just have to come to realize that our capacities are not what they've always been. We hate to see them go. We love them. Wish them the best. And wish them a fine, enjoyable retirement. But if you missed them, that's the last time we'll have them at the church. That's sad. I hated to have to say that, but the way it is. But anyway, here I'm going to play a song by Miss Morton, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. That was the Joy Airs singing Help Is On The Way. And certainly, if you're a child of God and things are going not so good for you, just hang in there, keep praying, keep trusting. Help's on the way. He's never forgotten one of his own yet. He never has forsaken one of his own, and he never will. All right, well, appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into today's message. Our Father, we do thank you for the wonderful service we've had this past week. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for the preachers. Thank you for the singing and the singers. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Father, we do ask this morning that you take this broadcast and use it to enlighten the minds of some folks that may be teetering, not knowing hardly what to believe about what they're hearing in the day we live in. But help us, Lord, that we might just expound unto them these things that we have been laid upon our heart to refute some of the lies that is being told, some of the misconceptions that are being put out there, and the attack upon your people, your word, and your church that's going on in the world today. Father, I pray most of all today that you would save that one that's lost, that might be listening. I pray that, Lord, that you will reclaim that one that's walked away from you. Open their eyes and help them to understand, Lord, that that's not the way to go. That there has to be a reckoning day, and it's better to do it now than at the judgment seat of Christ. And Lord, if there's one out there that's about ready to give up, help them to understand, help them on the way. Lord, pray now that you'll bless your men as they stand and faithfully proclaim the word. Lord, bless them, anoint them, work in the hearts of the people who listen. Take the broadcast, Lord, bless the heart of those that are listening. I pray for the sick. I pray for the doubtful. I pray for those, Lord, who are fearing and are facing struggles in their life. Lord, I pray for the upcoming election. You know what we need. You know what your will is. You know what will fit your plan. Lord, we'd love to see some deliverance from the oppression that we're suffering, but we've not suffered like the Apostle Paul or any of those. And so we really have no complaint. But Lord, we just want your will to be done above all else. And Lord, all that you do, we're going to thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was getting ready to bring this message today, I realized that the last few weeks I've been covering these subjects that I keep seeing where people are attacking the people of God, the Word of God, and the beliefs that we hold sacred. And I've been refuting those one by one as I saw them published. And I thought, well, I'm not using a springboard scripture, so I tried to think, what is a good scripture that would introduce this subject? And I looked around and I found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 some of my favorite verses because it so accurately describes the day we live in. Starts off with verse number 1 in chapter 3. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." That's the society, by and large, that we live in today. And then skip down to verse number 12, where it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Can I say stop long enough there to say this? The only way you're going to live godly is if you're in Christ Jesus. You cannot live godly on your own. You might live morally. You might live fairly. You might live a life even of kindness and giving to other people and helping other people. But you cannot live godly without a godly nature that's given only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I want you to notice verse number 13. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That is where we're standing today, and that is what I am doing my best to explain, what it is that's happening, that the world is hearing today, that they are so deceived and seem to just be falling into that trap. And it said that those seducers would wax worse and worse, and that word seducers means juggling imposters. So they are claiming to be something they are not. They're imposters. They claim to be intellectuals, and yet they have no wisdom. There's a difference in knowledge and wisdom. If all you've got is knowledge, and that's basically what the world today thinks that it's all based on, but you have no wisdom to go with it, you're in danger. You are a danger to yourself, and you're a danger to society if all you have is knowledge without wisdom. So I want you to notice that we've been talking about the different things that have been brought out, and that the Word of God refutes these, and I understand, and I say this, I think about every broadcast, because I do want you to know I understand that what I base my beliefs on is the Word of God. And the folks who are writing these things and saying these things have no respect for God or His Word. And yet, there may be some people out there who still don't quite know what to think. They've been deceived. They've listened. Hopefully I can help those people. That's my prayer. So the one we want to look at today is number 5, and they say that religion and the Bible is intellectually stifling because it contradicts science. Can I just stop long enough to say this? True science does not contradict the Bible. Now, the Bible does contradict science, falsely so called. So much of what people believe to be real science, if you look at that, it's prefaced with the phrase, the theory of. The theory of evolution, the theory of relativity, the theory of climate change, the theory, and yet they want to take this as readily accepted as the truth, and they have no authentication, some of it. Now, if you really want to know how to grow intellectually, if you don't want to be intellectually stifled, let me tell you how to do that. First thing you need to do is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible tells me that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is so much greater than simply knowledge by itself. Because wisdom will give you a discernment to recognize the truth from the lie. And so you do not get to know intellectually the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know Him through faith. And that faith is brought about when the Holy Spirit speaks to a person's heart, convicts them, shows them that they're lost, and that they need to be saved. And the moment that they're saved, the Holy Ghost comes to live in their heart and to direct their life and to enlighten their hearts and minds. And the way that we are saved is, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, that we will be saved. Now, that's deeper than intellect. That reaches the very depth of our being. That puts it down there where we live. That's not just a passing thought through our head. The fear of the Lord will give you the discernment you need to pick the lies away from the truth of the society that we live in that deals in half-truths and downright lies. You see, they believe that if you tell a lie often enough, and if you're consistent with it, that people will believe it, and that has seemed to work well for them. That's a strategy that is working well today. In light of the fact that there is no evidence of certain things going on in our world today that they claim, and they want to use those things to control our lives, then there's no evidence that those things really exist. The only way that you're going to know how to think for yourself is through the wisdom that comes from God. You see, what's happened is that over the years, this country has forsaken the old tried and true way of education, and we've dumbed up this society so much that nobody can think for themselves anymore. They act on and they are moved by what they hear, and that they're waiting for somebody else to tell them. And so today we find that so many people have bought the lies that's being put out today, and they cannot see the truth of what's going on. As a child of God, I want to ask you, as you look around you today, are you deceived by the lies that society is telling us? Can you not see the fallacy of killing babies? And here's the thing. Right now, they think it's fine to take the lives of these unborn children because it's convenient. Nobody wants them. Their society is a debit on society. And so the thing to do is just get rid of them. Well, what's the next step to that? Are our elderly people in jeopardy of that same thing happening to them? Well, they no longer are able to work and pay taxes. They're no longer contributing anything. And they're a debit on society. Why don't we just get rid of them? So you see, and how about the cripples and the people who are disabled permanently? What's the difference? What would stop the mindset of killing unborn babies from extending to other members of society that they deem as not being productive? Just a thought. Again, I'm not saying that this is anything in the works. I haven't heard that. But I can certainly see that it could be there. And then one big lie that this society that we live in has bought is that the United States of America is a villain. And they have bought the lie of socialism. And we have people today who despise the very flag that gives them the right to safely protest in the street, to burn the flag, and to praise our enemies. And yet, this is not understood by so many people. And they do not appreciate the freedom. Why? Because they don't have the wisdom. They say that the Bible and Christianity stifles intellectual development. And yet, the truth be known, it's just the other way. If you want to have true discernment, if you want to have true intellectual wisdom, you got to get it from God. You don't get it through the news media. You don't get it from books. You don't get it from the professors. It only comes from God, and it starts with the fear of God. Now, that word fear doesn't mean that you necessarily quake in front of him, but although if we really understood God, we would understand that there's plenty of reason we should do that, and especially this country right now with the things that's going on. But it means to reverence and to respect and to give him the due honor and glory that is due him. And that's what that word, the fear of the Lord, that's what it talks about. Although, there's plenty of room to fear God if you are not saved, because one day you'll have to face Him in judgment. Now let's move to the next one. It says that the Bible has too many restrictive moral codes. This simply means they do not want to be restrained in the pursuit of fleshly desires. That's all in the world. When they say that it's too restrictive, then that simply means we do not want to be restrained from the things we want to do. We want to be able to participate in anything we want to. We want to be able to do whatever we want to do and whatever the flesh dictates that we do without any inhibitions. A desire to sin with no one reminding them of the existence of a holy God that condemns their sin. And make no mistake about it, my friend. Excuse me. Make no mistake about it. God will not condone sin. And God will, by His very nature, be required to repay sin. Now, you can do that one of two ways. You can pay for it yourself. When you leave this world, if you leave in a lost condition, you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and cast your soul upon Him and cast your eternal destiny upon Him, and you've been saved by His marvelous grace, then you one day will have to pay and face those sins yourself. Now, the good news is this. Jesus has already faced those sins. He has already paid the price for those sins when He died yonder on Calvary under the burden of my sin and your sin. And when He was raised up that third day, God put His stamp of approval on what Jesus had done. And He made it valid, and He accepted what Jesus did in my place. He accepted me because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I had the opportunity. The Holy Spirit knocked. I said, yes, I want Jesus as my Savior. And so I must encourage you today, friend, if you're not saved, Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He went yonder to the cross, died to save you. And today He offers Himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Went to that cross willingly, laid down on it, nailed Him to it, died under the burden of our sin, was buried, and on the third day He was raised. He went back to heaven. And I believe that we're standing on the very edge of a time when He's going to come back and reclaim His children. He's going to step out on the edge of heaven, and the trumpet's going to sound. Dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we that alive and remain will be caught up together with them to be forever with Him in eternity. That's the reason this broadcast was started. That's been the thrust of the message from the very beginning. Is I think there is an urgency to the message, and I know I don't sound very urgent this morning. I'm really not, probably not even in shape to be doing this, but I can't let this broadcast drop. It's my ministry, and as long as I'm able, I want to do it. Not because I have to, but because of it's my ministry. The Lord's give it to me, and I need to be faithful to it. But I do want you to know that there is an urgency with this message this morning, because I believe the time is short. And if you know anything about prophecy, you can see an unfolding before our very eyes. And you will find that one of the signs is that everybody's going to turn against Israel. And we're seeing that happen right before our very eyes. So far, we have not. And yet, one of the candidates for our presidency has said that it's time for us to rethink our relationship with Israel. And, friend, I got news for you. If this country turns its back on Israel, that'll be the last straw. Because God said, I'll bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you. So far, we have been mightily blessed, and I believe one of the reasons is because we've always stood by Israel. Friend, if you're not saved, I want to encourage you today. Think about the fact that the rapture is close by. If you're left behind after refusing to be saved during this age of grace, when that trumpet sounds, your destiny is sealed. There'll be nothing you can do about it. But today, there's still time. And anyway, life is uncertain. People go out to meet God every day, young and old. None of us are immune. So I want you to think about that today. Now, as we sign off, I ask you to be back again next week.